know how many of you think of what we're about here with the Lord's table as being a service unto the Lord. Just as we saw that we give back to the Lord what He's first given us. And that's really what this cup and this bread represent. It's what the Lord has been pleased to give of Himself. And even as at the end of 2 Corinthians 9, after Paul had talked about the giving by the grace of God as each man purposed in his heart, he said there's no greater gift than the unspeakable gift, which is Christ Himself. And really, that's what we do during this time. We render service back to the Lord, remembering His work accomplished for sinners such as we are. Now, left in man's hands, man is always going to try to pervert this work, and man is going to add to it some way or take from it. That's what the Corinthians did. You know, anything man does becomes a competition. They started thinking about when they gathered for the Lord's table, well, why don't we all bring our own food to eat? Nothing wrong with that. But pretty soon the food became the focus and the drink. Some of the ones that were laborers, servants that had to stay behind and finish their work before they could come to worship, by the time they got there, the food was already all eaten. And sadly, it says many were drunken, had so much wine, they were carrying on. And that's why Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11 and warned them, said, "What, have ye not houses," verse 22, "to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God?" When he says despise ye the church of God, he's not talking about a brick and mortar building. He's talking about those that are members of Christ's body, that by not considering one another and just going ahead fulfilling your own desires, eating and drinking and all these things, you are really, it's like you take and slap another member of your body. You despise the church of God. You don't care about those that don't have enough even to bring. And go ahead and eat. Don't wait for them. All of that was what was going on. And he says, and shame them that have not. That's really what it's all about. You know, that's why we don't take up an offering. A lot of churches, congregations do. They pass a plate. But we don't, because we don't want to shame those that don't have. How many times people think, I didn't really come with anything today, so I guess I'll just sit here. And you feel like all eyes are on you because you're not giving. That's not the purpose of giving. That's why I don't want to know who gives. That's why it's all done in private and as the Lord directs, because we don't want that to be a condition. And sometimes it can get that way. We have our fellowship meals here, and I enjoy them. They're a delight, but I've had some think, I don't know if I can come because I don't know what to bring. I haven't brought anything. Well, that doesn't matter. We've never lacked for food. But there is that notion that people have that they have to do like everybody else. You don't. Just come and enjoy what others bring. And in the same way, it's each one as the Lord causes them to be willing. So it was here. It wasn't so much the idea of having a fellowship meal with the Lord's table. We do that. But the problem is when that becomes the focus and not the Lord's table. And so he says there in verse 22 of 1 Corinthians 11, "What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." So out of this, then we have the clear teaching. You know, we have that expression, less is more. When it comes to worship and even the Lord's table, less is more. We can do without the food. And sometimes we've done that. We just meet around the Lord's table. And that's good. What's important is what these elements represent right here that we hold in our hand. It's not designed to fill us up and make us feel full. But these are the emblems that the Lord has given us and left for us, by which we're to remember his death. So Paul says in verse 23, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. Why are we doing what we're doing here? Well, this has been received of the Lord. This is what he instructed. And that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And that's unleavened bread. That's what you see here in our hand. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. Now, we've taken the time to break it ahead of time. We could just as easily pass a portion of the bread and each one break off their parts. But the important thing is that it has been broken. Not that any bone of our Lord was ever broken, but the whole picture of broken has to do with his humility, that this body that was prepared was purposed for death. When you take and break it, it's a representation of his death. I love it when people write me letters and they'll write bro, B-R-O, and they'll put Ken, K-E-N. I don't think they've ever thought about it, but every time I read it, I say, well, they got that right. I'm nothing but a broken sinner. One for whom Christ died. That's all I have. But that's all I want. And that's what I remember, how he was broken. He humbled himself and endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. That's what we remember. It's not because any of us is worthy. No, he alone is worthy. And so that same night he took and gave thanks. He broke it. You think about him giving thanks the night before he went to the cross. He was thanking his Father that it was for that purpose that he'd come into the world. I dare say if we knew we were going to die tonight, perhaps our last thought would be, oh, thank the Lord, I'm going to die tonight. That's not something that naturally comes to our mind. People start getting panicky, thinking about death. There's no reason to, because he that preceded us went through those waters already. And I often say, as long as the head's out of the water, the body's safe. But he thanked the Father. Who's he thanking? He wasn't thanking his disciples. It says he gave thanks. He was giving thanks to his Father that it would be that for that purpose that he would come into the world. And then he said, take, eat, to his disciples. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. That's why we're doing it, in remembrance of him. This is the one picture that Christ has left us of himself. It doesn't look like much, but it's everything. That's why we don't have designs and pictures of so-called Jesus or other objects that men have invented. That the Lord never instructed that. Could he have? Yeah. There were people that could draw back in his day, could paint. They could have drawn pictures and passed them down, but he didn't, because he purposed this be the only thing. All the rest is idolatry. And if you've got any of those objects hanging around, go ahead and take them, burn them. That's all they're worth, worthy to be burnt. But this that we hold in our hand, but we don't even revere this to think somehow there's grace in the bread. No, it's in who this bread represents, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then after the same manner, it says he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. That cup represents his blood shed unto death. And notice it's the New Testament in my blood. That's how the New Testament was established. Until the death of the testator, there was no redemption. There was no justification, no reconciliation. But in the death of the testator, we have reconciliation. We have justification before God. And that's what Christ accomplished. And so he says again, this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. It's not a matter of looking around and seeing who is partaking, who isn't. This is the Lord's table. It's as the Lord directs each one without condition. All the condition was on Christ. And so for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. The Lord didn't even require how often. He just said, for as often. We do it at the end of every month. I know some that's every time they meet, which would be fine. That would be also as the Lord directs. But the important thing there is to remember his death till he come. When it says you do show the Lord's death till he come, that word show actually means to preach, to proclaim. So this is not something that's tacked on the end of a worship service that we're about here. This is a continuation. We've had two messages today, one in the first hour and now this one, but it's all declaring Christ. And it's because of him that we rejoice. Gracious Father, I thank you for giving us these elements to remember your work, for the work of your Son, why he came, and what he accomplished for sinners such as we are. And may we, as we partake, remember him in his body that was prepared for us, unleavened, without sin, but also his blood shed. It required both a perfect satisfaction in his body and a perfect satisfaction in his death. I'm thankful that he is that satisfaction before you. So as we partake, may our hearts and thoughts be ever toward our Lord Jesus and all that he's accomplished for sinners such as we are. And I give you the praise in his precious name. Amen.